it. So let's summarize here for a moment or two. So number one, you're saying that they're doing away with PCR testing because now they have these new patented tests, and it almost sounds a little bit sinister in a way that you're describing the motivation behind why they're now changing horses.
I'm just telling you what's coming out.
Secondly, when we're looking at natural immunity versus the vaccine, the so-called vaccine-induced immunity, that the conclusion based on your review of data and literature is that, of course, natural immunity is much more robust. It's adaptable to multiple aspects of maybe this infection and its future as compared to more specified.
Yeah, it's more encompassing of the entire virus.
And so now the last question on that piece is, if I'm somebody now that has had COVID, the disease, and I've come through it and I have natural immunity, is there a threat to that natural immunity? If I were to go ahead and get vaccinated.
So the bottom line answer is I don't know because we haven't looked at that. That hasn't been tested. I mean, I can come up with all sorts of potential ideas, but again, opinions, you've got plenty of friends and relatives to go get those
Okay. So maybe another question, then a derivative question might be, being that there is no data or not enough data to know about that. Is it
from.
ill-advised to get vaccinated if you already have natural immunity, since we don't know?
Well, one thing that we do know is that if you get vaccinated with either the Pfizer or the Moderna, where we have the data, it suppresses your immune response. And there are papers that I've talked about that are published that show that they have now challenged people with influenza vaccines and they don't respond. They don't build an immune response to the influenza vaccine after they've received the SARS-CoV-2 vaccines, one of those. I mean, that's published data. So that suggests maybe, well, we know it's reprogramming the innate immune response. So, the argument would be if it's reprogramming the innate immune response, now you're having a problem just maintaining your natural immunity, which is not a good thing, I think, right? And I think my response to your prior question is if you already have natural immunity to something, I'm sorry, why would you get vaccinated for it? I mean, have you not already achieved the goal? I mean, I've had SARS-CoV-2 twice.
Twice.
Yeah, I had it in January of 2020 when it first came around. And then a couple months ago, someone was kind enough to share the Delta variant with me. I was just running, at light speed like we're doing right now, and I did pretty well for the better part, and then I just kind of didn't do well after about a week, and then I just simply took one of the drugs that's in the protocol that I believe that drug is probably the only drug that's needed. Although, again, since I have not quantitatively measured that, I'm not releasing the name of that drug. I'm only, the published data is the published data that we have measured. And anything else is just something that I think we should measure, and we're working on it. But we're also working on treatments for the back for people who've been vaccinated and trying to get those quantitative measurements done. And again, that's all being done outside of the United States, in three different countries this time with what looks like good responses, but again, they need to be quantitative. They got better doesn't mean it's what we're doing. They could have maybe gotten better on their own, right? Or in spite of what we're doing.
So, this is interesting for your own anecdotal circumstance. So you had natural immunity and still got reinfected because of the variant.
I almost kicked it, but to be real honest, there were a couple of things that happened all of a sudden that put additional physiologic stresses on me, and that was just enough to do it. And it's like, okay, but I will tell you that the original infection that I got was the worst I have felt in probably about a decade. It took me about 3 to 3.5 weeks to respond to it, and that was before everybody was coming out and saying this was really here. And it's like, No, this is completely. I don't like this. And I've had influenza. Okay, back when I was a cardiology fellow, I had influenza A, and I was as white as a sheet. So I don't think I was. I wasn't white as a sheet, but I had no energy. I just would, and that was along with all the other typical respiratory symptoms and GI symptoms for those people who want to do TMI.
Okay, so well, final thing that I want to talk about, and I think we could talk for days. Obviously, you got a lot going on up there in that mind of yours. So, but let's go back to the big picture. You talked about this affidavit that you were a part of with other scientists that was filed, I guess, in the world court. What's in that affidavit, and what motivates you to work with these other scientists to file it?
The scientist in me, as I start to investigate what was going on with this virus and, watch what's happening in the world and watch the interference with people getting treatments that they should be getting and watch the coercion of vaccines and the denial of informed consent, means that somebody has to do something. And at some point in time in your life, you really need to decide what you stand up for. Everybody wants to live. I think most people want to live at a point in time in history when they make a difference. And so I see many people stressed and wishing that we weren't in these times. We have been given a golden opportunity to stand up to people similar to people that were in Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 1940s, where they did experimentation upon people. All for the good of humanity, all for the good of Germany, which was the good of humanity as they saw it. And it was fine to do that. That whatever they wanted to do was fine. And we took a lot of steps after that. We did the Nuremberg Code, which doesn't have a jurisdictional limitation. Everybody signed on to that. We did the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. We've signed and ratified that. It says you won't do things to people without informed consent. The AMA Code of Ethics says you won't do things to people without informed consent. Informed consent means that you actually are informed of what could happen, the benefits, and you decide to voluntarily do that. The Helsinki documents are rules for research connection of individual subjects. So the codes of humanity, the laws of humanity, the treaties that we've signed have all been violated. People have literally lied, about money for gain of function until 2 days ago, right? I mean, we're in month 22, right? 22 months of lying through their teeth until they're throwing each other under the bus. That's why this is coming out. I don't have an option in this. This is, I think most everybody who's coming forward and talking about this is not an option. It's not like I wanted a battle. I mean, honestly, this is not. In 2019, this is not what I saw myself doing in 2021, but I'm here. And everything that was done to me previously did nothing more than train me for this moment. But I want to recognize some people here while we have an opportunity. The International Criminal Court case that has been filed is the only case that I'm aware of that hasn't been kicked out. All the others that I've heard of have been kicked out for procedural purposes. This case is a set of four cases from some very brave attorneys who have stepped forward, and I want to recognize them. Kira S. McCallum and Melinda Main from the United Kingdom filed case 143/21. They, along with Slovakia attorneys Peter Weiss, Marika Pirusikova, and Eric Schmidt, filed case 133/21. In France, attorneys Patrice Lepiller and Raphael Cohen filed case 271/21, and the Czech Republic, Thomas Nielsen filed case 326/21. Now, they filed to join their cases with the ICC so that this type of information could be addressed and crimes against humanity for the people involved in this could be addressed and taken care of. And then along with Dr. Kevin McCarron, who's probably one of the world's premier rhesus monkey neurobiologists, who has been warning people about the prion diseases, which we didn't even get into, with the spike protein 2015, and the animal models that show prion diseases like mad cow disease and Alzheimer's stemming off not only the vaccines, but the virus. And then myself providing sworn affidavits. And then most recently, the three individuals from Nazi concentration camps that are survivors of that, Moshe Braun, Eliel Handler, and Vera Shrev, came forward to file documents with the ICC to say, please do this. And now if you go to the website, you can find a link for signing to the letter petition to add further to that. And we have evidence that we will be sometime in the next week, week and a half. And it's enough that I can't even mention it during this documentary that is significant about the vaccines and what we now know is going on. People coming forward to address these crimes against humanity. These people knew what they were doing. They meant, you know, again, they didn't have the knowledge base to develop the technology and the genetic sequencing, but they played with the tools and they saw what they were doing. And they did this intentionally and knowingly and willfully and I would say maliciously. And they have harmed people. They have shut down societies. They have blocked treatments, which it's the absence of treatments, which are why people died. You know, when you tell people there's nothing to treat you with, you know, well, you have a bad disease and you don't treat it, people die. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out. And then they pushed these coercive efforts for drug vaccines and without informed consent that violates the U.S. Constitution. And the President of the United States doesn't have the authority to mandate violating the U.S. Constitution. In fact, that's treason on his part. And anybody involved who's taken the oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution is violating Article 6, the treaty component that says this is the law of the land. And that's not a minuscule thing. People in the United States think, well, we don't want to have treaties tell us what we do because then other countries will tell us what to do. No, 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 no. A treaty is something the United States decided to enter into. And the reason why Article 6 is there is because the founding fathers saw what the British did. They'd make treaties and never honor them over and over and over again. And the founding fathers said, wait a minute, if this country steps up and it makes a treaty, we will stand behind that treaty. We will not be like the British. So this is critical. This is fundamental to this country and what people think that the United States stands for. And we better stand for what we say we stand for, you know, or we're meaningless. You know, the people throughout the world that I talk to in multiple countries, physicians and scientists and people that are just concerned about this virus and about these vaccines and about the rights that have been taken away and the threats to their family, ask a common thread question, which is, what is the United States going to do about this, right? We're still supposedly the beacon city on the hill. If we abandon this beacon city on the hill, there is no beacon city. My parents and grandparents looked at me and they said, we want you to have a better life than we had. We want you to have more opportunities to be more successful, to have, you know, X, Y, and Z. Am I to look at my children and say, I want a lousier world for you. I want less freedoms for you. I want less rights for you. I want less security for you. I want more manipulation of your life for you by governments. Am I to be the generation that I won't. I don't have an option. And as a scientist researcher, you know, when Fauci says he's science, okay, I need an anti-emetic. You know, I need something so I won't vomit. Because after 53 years of research, he's not science. I haven't seen anything published by Anthony Fauci that's a real science paper. Lots of opinions, lots of garbage, okay? And that's great. Knock yourself out. But that's not real research. That's not real science. That's not real anything. That is, you're in charge of a bureaucratic agency. Congratulations. And you perjured yourself before Senator Dr. Rand Paul. You need to be held criminally accountable. You're a real criminal, you know? It's time we quit punishing the non-criminals and calling them criminals, and time we actually go after the real criminals and hold them accountable. And if we're not going to do that in U.S. courts, I think it's important for people to realize that Nuremberg wasn't just a trial over the Nazi head leaders. Nuremberg trials were 12 trials, and it included trials for the government. It included trials for the doctors. It included trials for the judges. It included all of these people. Yeah, you know, and they didn't think that they were going to be held accountable for it. So when everybody says, well, you can't pull the United States into an ICC case, guess what? Yeah, you can. And guess what? If the ICC won't pick it up, then we do a Nuremberg too, because there are judges throughout the world that want something done about this and are willing to sit on a tribunal to hold this accountable. And if that's where we have to go, that's where I'll go to get it done.
Well, I could say that this is extraordinary times that we live in, which require extraordinary thinking and actions. And yeah, you seem to be uniquely adept, you know, with your, I mean, who could have thought with your training that you have in all the varying disciplines that they would converge, you know, at this point in time, you know, and they have. It's hard to stay optimistic looking at everything that's going on right now and the complete absurdity of it and the insanity of it. But at the same time, I wish I could give attribution for whoever originally said it, but, you know, all that's necessary for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. And I think, you know, you're that good person that's doing something. So I appreciate the fact that you're willing to take your time and your expertise and share it here, but further to get into the International Criminal Court and to push these issues and to not back down is what's required, you know, it's heroic action. So thank you for that.
No evil that has ever ruled ever thought that it could be defeated, and yet every one of them was.
Yeah, I think that should give us all hope. So thank you so much for your ongoing work, and also for your dedication to not just recklessly giving opinions, but to staying very focused on what's known, what's demonstrable, and basing actions on that as compared to, you know, I could put it, emotions unattached to reality. So, so again, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There's not too many Richard Flemings in the world, people that have this mix of expertise who also care about the planet and care about the future. I found his comments and that conversation to be extremely compelling. I'm sure you did too. Thank you for being here.